Paddy Power and the Football Show. The greatest football partnership since Shearer and Owen.
Delighted to welcome to studio Vinny Perth. Vinny, thanks for coming in. Appreciate it.
No, it's great to be here.
Busy few days, busy couple of months, I presume. Now it's time to suddenly breathe and go, oh, right. I don't have anywhere to be tomorrow necessarily, kind of a time for you, or is it like that?
No, it's actually not like that. So it's such a busy time. I'm in the middle of my pro license as well. So I just got an email through, so I need to be careful giving out what's ahead of me. I still haven't gone home and told everybody what's ahead. So I have a couple of visits to do in December. I've got to go to Middlesbrough and got to go to Celtic as well as part of the pro license. So, and then you're constantly busy and stuff going on and new players and finalising squad and plans. So it's quite a busy time. It's a bit like anything. It's what you see on match day takes a lot of preparation. And so there's a huge amount of stuff to go into the next couple of months.
And why Middlesbrough and why Celtic?
Well, I suppose Robbie's on the pro licence, Robbie Keane. So we'll spend some time there, see what they do. And it's just shared knowledge, really. Damien Duff's obviously at Celtic, so that's part of the plan. And doing Holland, Belgium, and people share ideas, and that's really how it works. A couple of guys have come in to Dundalk to see what we do, sort of outside of the pro license part of it. So it's all that sort of shared knowledge, and that's where we go.
And sorry, excuse the ignorance, are you in the class with Robbie and Damien at the moment, that batch we see photos of every couple of months?
Yeah, yeah. So Keith Andrews would be in there as well, Paddy McCarthy, be very, very strong, Andy Reid, very strong group at the moment. So it's been a brilliant course, and it's been, it's more that shared learning is where you really pick up stuff.
So what kind of stuff, what kind of tidbit did you take from one of the days where that's interesting, I'll use that, that's useful to me?
I suppose you pick each other's brains. I mean, someone like Paddy McCarthy is someone I'd find really interesting, and he's working with Crystal Palace youths. So he discussed that sort of how working with youths, obviously being a Premiership player and dropping down that level, and how is he adapted. So Damien has presented to us in terms of what he'd do on his what we would call a minus one day in terms of his video sessions and how they would train and what they do at Celtic. And so some of it's reaffirming what you do and saying, yeah, I do the right things, or other of it's small little things you pick up. And and again, to be fair to the people on the course, Andy Reid, and there's some brilliant people on that course, even League of Ireland people like Paul Hegarty, he would share his knowledge, and he's obviously dealing with part-time players, and we get stuff out of people like Paul Hegarty, John Cotter from Cork. Mm. So that's really helped my development, I think. And it's been not necessarily what the course puts on, it's not necessarily a certain topic. Sometimes it's that's just that shared knowledge and
chat over a cup of coffee almost sometimes.
Yeah, and it's definitely been like that, because we've had a huge level. Like, obviously, Robbie and Damien and Andy have played the highest level, and Paddy McCarthy, but we've also have people like, as I said, Paul Hegarty would have some stories of situations he's been in Finn Harps or when he was managing Derry, and you pick up from that. So it's been, we've had a guy in from Iceland, and some of the stories around how Iceland have redeveloped their game and what they've done. And again, you're just picking up knowledge as best you can.
You've been in League of Ireland dressing rooms, professional dressing rooms, and obviously you've been at Dundalk for some time now. And this is that first year where you step up and it's over to you, Vinny, and you've got to make a lot of the decisions. What surprised you about the role? You're very, very close to Stephen, and you see what's going on, and you suspect you'd have a good handle on what it will be like when you actually get into the hot seat. Was there anything about the role which jumped out at you and you thought, oh, I didn't quite figure this would be like this?
Not really at the start. At the start, it wasn't, because I was very conscious and, I'm not an academic, but I'm someone who would be very much into self-learning, and I would have, the likes of video prep, I would have taught myself how to do that over the years and brought that type of stuff into my game. But then I really felt very conscious that I didn't want to become, because I'd coached at the club for 6 years, and very hands-on. I didn't want to just all of a sudden stand in the background and put a big jacket on and
be Mr. Manager.
Mr. Manager.
Call me Gaffer.
Yeah, and so it's very, very conscious. I had a lot of personal relationships with the players, and I didn't want them saying straight away, I've changed. I'd say if you ask them now, they say, yes, I changed. But I'd like to think, you know, that slowly developed as time went on.
Because there's nothing more than a dead giveaway than someone who walks in and has tried to transform themselves in 24 hours. It's fake.
It is, and I was very conscious of that, and I built into, you know, making subtle changes. And I suppose for me, one of the best compliments I think I've got this year, and most people wouldn't see it, but is that people say Dundalk haven't changed, they're still the same, but we've changed a huge amount.
How so?
In the background. Well, some of it was on the way, but we've redeveloped our training ground, and we've redeveloped what we do and how we do it, and our video sessions, and just small subtle things we changed. And we've always evolved over the years. I mean, we were part-time up until even in 16 when we had that great European run, we were effectively part-time. Mm. The staff was part-time. This year the club changed and really changed. We went full-time a couple of years ago, but our kit man was full-time. And I think it was the perfect storm. The club moved into a new training base, and the players probably associated that with me. So things started to change subtly. We obviously the training changed because we had a new guy doing my role, even though I was a bit more hands-on as opposed to just the manager. I felt I was coach stroke manager very much in the early part of the season. I was very conscious of that. So we developed, I think.
Vinny, have you had to distance yourself from the players a touch, be slightly less pally than you might be? Because the number two is often talked about as a bit of a go-between.
Yeah, and you know, very conscious that, as I said, I self learn as such, or listen to a lot of stuff, and I know it's very conscious of cliches nowadays, but one good one I heard on one of your shows was Stuart Lancaster said, once you decide, you divide. And it is true, and it's as simple as if you decide to come in on a Saturday morning or do an extra session on a Sunday, you do divide. There's no doubt you brown players off. They're like, do we have to be in? So once you're very clearly making them decisions, as an assistant, you can be, I've always, you know, myself and Stephen would row about decisions, just the two of us, we'd have it out, and ultimately we'd come to decision. Sometimes I'd win, he'd win, but then I'd go and not necessarily go in and say that's the way it is. I'd have empathy with the players. I know it's a Sunday morning. I know we have to make this change, but we're doing it for this reason, that reason. So, but once you make that decision, then you are dividing. Your players are getting into the cars, going, you know, can't believe this. I wish we weren't. I wish we'd more know this. So, I had to change, and so. I always had this joke and part of the warm-up, and very conscious who I said it to, but at the same time, to break the ice, oh, if I was the gaffer, you'd be playing to somebody, you know. And we got a little laugh out, but it was to break the ice. Mm. I could never say that again, obviously, you know, for example. So little things like that had
to change. Is it a more lonely role then? Do you miss that interaction with the players?
No, like, to be honest with you, I really... a very, very strong relationship with the players over the years, and I felt they were like, I was like their big brother. There was always something they could come to me with. So it is a lonely run, yes, because you know, there's certain things then you can't share with them or whatever it is. You know, you had got 22 real close friends as such, and you treat them like your brother, even though there was times where I had to get cranky with them. But at the same time, yes, you can't have that. I mean, one of the secrets to coaching, in my opinion, is sort of not hearing certain things and not seeing them when they go on. So, but then when you're the manager, you have to be very clear that if you do hear something, you've got to address it very quickly.
And so you talk about that Lancaster interview. He does a show here with Jer, which is well worth checking out. And I understand, you know, you were in with Leinster having a look at how they do things. So this self-learning, this effort to improve all the time, and you said at the same time you're not an academic. Did you leave school early? Was that because of football or?
No, it's just not my nature. I would, and I'm not shy about saying, and I actually hope it helps other people to say that, I mean, I don't know what the right word is, where, like, I would be, I don't know whether it's even partially, or I don't know what the right word is, but I would struggle with literacy. Not like I can read and write, obviously, but I would have a certain amount of struggles with that.
So in like the kind of somewhere in the family of dyslexia?
Yeah, I'd be on that if it's called the spectrum is the right word. So it would be somewhere there. I would have done okay in school, but I would never have gone to the next stage.
And did anyone in school, because it's changed so much now, did anyone say to you, do you know what, Finney, just looking at your work here, I think there may be something. Did that happen?
Or, and maybe this isn't it, but like it's a bit like I was very good at maths, but then when someone said on a test a train leaves Dublin at 5 o'clock and it has to go to Cork and it takes 2 hours, and that if someone just gave me the sum I would have done it. I've done it in my head as such.
So the language.
But the language and the way my brain picked it up was different. I'm not shy about talking about that. And then
there's nothing to be ashamed of.
No,
did that make school an absolute nuisance and a nightmare? Or was
no,
it okay?
I done quite well in school, but then come test time people didn't understand it and they didn't, well, how did he do this? And back then we had the highest class and the middle class and the lower class, and I was always in the highest class. I wasn't shy about speaking up, and so I'd done well in the actual work, but then when it came to test time, I probably struggled.
Because these days you'd get extra time for your test, or there'd be allowances made.
Absolutely.
Is that a regret?
And it is, yeah. And it's funny. I have, I'm not afraid to say it. My son has autism. It's a mild enough, for want of a better word, strain of it. But he gets so much help. It's amazing. His teachers is, you know, there's so much. He didn't speak for his first couple of years, and you know he the way he's learned and the way he's come on, and he teaches us stuff nearly at this stage. And he's,
what age is he now?
He's 11 now, and he's very bright in a different way. And again, what's different, what's normal? So what I like about that is, and even my own sort of journey to where I've got to, is that again, when I played, I wasn't that good. I was someone who struggled, who would have played in midfield and not that technique very good. And then people looked at me and went, oh, I played with this team, a Longford team, very famous team at the time, in 3 and 4, but we were seen as not a likeable team. For, you know, we weren't Wimbledon, but we weren't far off it in that sense. So
you were there kind of 98 to 04.
Yeah, and around that, so people would put you in boxes, like, and say
you've done dirty Leeds kind of territory.
Yeah, not far off it. And I'd say I wasn't dirty, but I was slow. So I arrived there late. It was just because I was slow. That's my only excuse. But people had this perception of me then like, well, that's the way he played. He held balls on. He put them into corners. But I had completely different beliefs in the game. I believed in fullbacks and attacking play, and I had completely different beliefs. I grew up in the 80s, so that great Liverpool side of the way they passed the ball, that was my belief. I couldn't do it myself. Okay. So I always wanted a coach. I wanted to manage from a really young age, and it was like it was bottled inside me. So again, it's great that... And I don't want to say I've got to the top, but I want to say I've achieved the league title, right?
So absolutely,
to be able to do that coming from that background means surely then anyone can do it if they want. And I've probably been accused of being lucky because I took over Stephen's side, and you know, we've a big budget and they've the best players and that. But I think I've worked. We've worked hard enough to get there.
I think it's huge vindication, because with all those benefits comes pressure, and pressure to succeed, and everybody's watching how you're going to do. And if things start going off the railway tracks, then suddenly it's career ruination for you. You know, you look at someone like David Moyes, different parallel, but similar. You know, people are saying, well, look, he couldn't cut it. So if you had made an absolute mess of this first season with all those extra benefits and the squad and Stephen leaving the team in good shape, then you're in trouble. Your career's in a bit of trouble. So I don't know how conscious you were that pressure. Obviously, you were chasing down Rovers for a large part of the season, but whether you engage with that reality or not, that was what was going on. And we were all looking, us in the media, we were all saying in here, Howard and Dundalk doing under
current. Friends and family all saying it. Like people saying, you're sure it's the right job at this time?
Yeah, you can't afford to mess it up.
Because we don't give coaches second chances in this part of the world, and we just don't do it. And you're judged on your first job. So,
did you feel that hanging on your shoulder a bit?
I did, but in one sense, I had no choice.
You couldn't turn down the job.
You can't turn down the job. Who knows if it's the right moment? I had left a decent career outside of the game.
What were you doing?
I was a salesman for maybe 10, 12 years for a company based out of Dundalk. So I loved that job, and I had built a good career. I had good income, and I made a choice to back Dundalk, to back Stephen Dundalk, the whole club. And then all of a sudden I need to fight to make this mine. Mm. So I was backed into a corner. But I always wanted to do it. The problem was I'd spent 6 years coaching, and I was like, maybe I'm a better coach than manager. Maybe this is where I should be.
Some people are.
And absolutely. And that was the challenge, so I wasn't sure. And then, as you said, there was the whole sort of legacy. Was Dundalk going to keep going? Mm. You know, so yes, but I suppose I backed myself. I got great backing from the club. To be fair, Mike Tracy was very, very much in favour of this was the right thing. Mm. We probably got ridiculed about using the word continuity the way the world has gone now, but that was his word. He believed in continuity in the club, and you know, that's what we did, and it went from there.
I remember, I think you were in here with Nathan maybe around a year ago, you'll know better than me, but my memory from the interview was you were brilliantly honest about the fact that it was a bit of a blow to you that Stephen didn't take you with him. Did that knock your confidence? Was that something that took a long time to get over? Every time you see the Irish under-21s in action, does it crop up in your head? Where are you with that?
No, it doesn't. Like, I mean,
the initial disappointment was real.
Of course, yeah, absolutely. And it became a headline, the fact that I said I dreamed of going to a World Cup. Like, I don't apologise for making a statement like that, because I grew up in a time where we played a game called World Cup, and it was everything. And I remember probably really first World Cup, maybe 86. And if you think about how good that World Cup was, for example, and you know, that I really think that a lot has changed in my life this year in terms of my coaching, in terms of my beliefs in football and my own ambitions. And I suppose it's funny that really what changed me was that midway through the season, I just felt that I was spending too much time listening to noise, listening to people commenting on what we were doing and where we were at, and even the good noise, and sometimes it's bad noise. And I just felt that I just needed to back myself, trust why I was doing it, what I believed in. And again, if I can go back to my son, when we lifted the trophy, the night we lifted the trophy, he came out onto the pitch, and he wasn't at last year's cup final, not because I was only the assistant manager, no interest. He asked could he not go because he didn't want to be anyone's way. Mm. Which was just, when someone has autism, they tell you the truth. They just say, I think I'll be in someone's way. It's not that you can perceive that as being cheeky or bold. And sometimes the so-called normal kid, you say, no, you're going to the final, that's it. But with him, he was...
Normal kid, you're looking for an excuse.
It was very definite why he didn't go. So when
That's quite a sad reason to hear.
But what he meant, I suppose what he meant by that was he was saying to us, yous are going to have fun there, I won't. And because I won't, I'm not interested in football, then it's better for you. It's actually, it's a really sweet thing to say, because he wanted the rest of the family to enjoy it, and he wanted to stay with his gran. So it wasn't that he didn't, so that made sense.
Yeah.
But when we lifted the trophy, I got a shock. He was on the pitch and he was clapping. And normally that's not him. And I was like, okay. And then when he lifted the trophy, his arms went up and he was spotted on TV. And I probably got more texts that night from parents and family going, wow, it was amazing what Killian done. So that was a real thing for me to go. I probably spent too long worrying what other people think and trying to prove people wrong, because everyone was going, that's Dundalk finished. I'm nearly hoping you were, because, you know, the more you're successful, people want to knock you in. I said, you know what, it made me realise why I do it and what's it all about. So put a bit more perspective into what I do, and made me sort of, you know, get back to focusing on what I was good at and what we were all about, you know.
So you're saying Killian 11 now?
Yeah.
So what age were you when he was born, give or take?
I was, 33, around that age, 32.
Equipped to handle that news? That
Listen, it's difficult. It's difficult because, particularly with a boy, you know, I have a daughter who's 16 now. She's quite successful in her own way. She's done a certain amount of river dance, all that stuff.
Right.
So she that's great. But with your boy, you're always going, hope he plays football, what can he do, all that stuff. And he's just never had an interest in it. But to be honest with you, we get to celebrate the things that are normal for other people. So I remember him singing happy birthday to my wife when he was probably 4 and a half. It was about 4:30 in the morning. And if my daughter had done that, we'd have thrown her out of the room with him. It was probably one of the most special moments. So you get to, it's like going onto the pitch. Me on the other night lifting the trophy, it was a special, special moment for me. It's just a normal, for anyone else, it's normal to have the kid there, thereabouts. For me, that was special. So you get to celebrate other things.
There's more joy in the humdrum of life almost.
Oh yeah, the normal things for everyone else. And as I said to you, it's just a different perspective, and it probably makes things feel a little bit more special for when you achieve them, you know?
Yeah. So you now, I mean, look, the cup final defeat, I'm sure it was painful because, oh, would have been lovely. And geez, what a season then. But I presume you're still looking back on this first year, and we would have seen the Linfield result the other night, which is, you know, a nice little send off for everyone for sure. You look back on this season and feel satisfied and happy and relieved, or are you kind of going, work to do, need to get better? What's your overriding sense of things?
I suppose what the cup final, like, will do is, and people might say, oh, well, you know, he's trying to take a positive out of a negative. What you do is, you definitely learn more when you fail at something, right? So what the cup final taught me was, it reaffirmed what I felt was wrong with the squad. It made us have a little bit more perspective for next season. So it's at the creating a little bit of hunger in the group. Effectively, we've entered five competitions this year domestically. We've lost the penalty shootout. And other than that, we would have won the five of them. Now, it wasn't just a penalty shootout. We weren't good against Shamrock Rovers in the cup final. And that, there was a huge hurt in the group over that. But I think what we did was, we sort of, the Linfield game was brilliant for us. It sort of gave us something just to get a little bit of focus back. Remember, we're gone since the 5th of January. Most teams are on the holidays now. And we played 55 matches. Most teams play 35, maybe 38 if they've had a good run. So we've had a huge amount of wear and tear, but we probably had, in terms of training week, the best week I've had in 6 or 7 years at the club. We've had brilliant weeks in terms of, you know, Bataille's week or going over to Zenit St. Petersburg and coming back for a cup final. But there was a real fun element to us this week. I first time ever, never named the team walking into Windsor Park, so players were guessing. When we got there, there was like massive disappointment from guys not being in the team. The stadium is amazing, and it created a little bit of hunger around the group again. And then the game, it was a really good game, and I know Linfield have been criticised over the result, but it was a real good game up there, and we came back and there was an edge to us. And Monday, I just thought, Monday night was one of the most, people have criticised Linfield, but we were just
good.
Dundalk at our best.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it ends up being a really positive end to a season for
us. Yes, yes, yes. And actually, because I didn't see the games. I was watching the 6-0 win in here, so I didn't have sound up. But I'm seeing things about some IRA chants and vice versa. As a going forward kind of advertisement or a little venture, I mean, I hope the All-Ireland League happens. We're bigger, stronger, better, all that kind of thing. Did you see anything which would overly concern you? I know you've said, look, we don't want IRA chants for sure, and I condemn that.
Yeah, and one thing, like, there was chants on both sides, and I can only comment on Dundalk. It's not my place to comment on Linfield have said or flags they put up. But in terms of Dundalk, like, and, you know, I said it a couple of times. I grew up in an ivory tower, I call it, but it's Killinard and Tallis, so it's far from it, right? But so in the 80s, the troubles were real, but we've only seen them on TV. They could have been in, for all I know, Middle East. They meant nothing. So I'm very respectful that people in border towns on both sides had a difficult time. But this was a football match, and there was a tiny, tiny couple of chants here and there. And the best way I can equate it to you is, when Liverpool play Manchester United, there's the odd Munich reference and there's the odd Hillsborough reference. And the more they play each other, the more that drifts away. I think we get used to, I think both teams need Linfield. If they want to progress in Europe, I think the manager will learn a lot from the game the other night. He probably challenges players and say, that's the level we need to get up to be able to compete. And genuine, I know it's a 7-1, but the first game felt like a European game. Loads of the ball, and they done exactly what they done to Carabag. They counter-attacked, Laverty scored a great goal, and it was a very much similar to the goal he scored against Carabag. So I learned a huge amount out of the weekend. I think if we're going to improve both leagues, then we've got to explore this to the inch of its life.
Yeah.
I think it's a massive opportunity. And we'd be in favour if it can happen. And
yeah,
both teams, genuinely, both clubs are very respectful of each other, both benches, both set of players. And it passed off ultimately when not an
yes,
ounce of trouble.
It did.
Not an ounce of trouble.
Yeah. Well, we're out of time, are we? Yes, okay, I'll be in trouble. I did want to ask you, well, a lot of other things, but certainly about the general handling of the game in this country and where it could go and what's not happened or happened over the last 10 years, but we'll do that again. Listen, I'm thrilled to see you do so well, because I must say, any time over the last number of years Dundalk have played in Europe, I think it's been a real sense of pride for Irish football. And at times, I know you probably can't say this, but we can, it highlighted what wasn't happening with the international team. Irish players can keep the ball and play good football. So long may it continue. Well done on a really good first season. Vinnie Perth, and we'll talk to you again. Cheers.
Cheers, thank you.
Paddy Power and the Football Show, the greatest football partnership since Diouf and Heskey.